We don't think we're the bomb.
They call.
You were good with it?
Yeah.
For being it, but.
One thing.
Good morning. We will bring the February 7th, 2024 meeting of the Board of Directors of the Eastern Municipal Water District to order. We always start with our Pledge of Allegiance. Director Record, would you like to lead us in the pledge this morning?
I'd be honored to. Please join me in the salute to our flag. I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I would now like to ask the board secretary if she would read the rules for public participation virtually and then do a roll call of the board and legal counsel.
Absolutely. To avoid creating acoustic feedback, please mute all your devices during the meeting unless you are speaking. Before speaking, please unmute your device and turn down the volume of any other devices that are near you and tuned into the meeting. If you have joined by phone and would like to comment on an item, please press star 9 to let our staff know and wait to be notified. When it is your turn to speak, you will hear a notification asking you to unmute your phone by pressing star 6. If you have joined by computer, you may use the chat feature in Zoom to indicate your desire to speak. When done speaking, please mute your device again. And lastly, please participate from a quiet environment so that the board can hear you when you are speaking. And now we will do roll call. President Polly.
Present.
Director Corona.
Here.
Director Slauson.
Here.
Director Armstrong.
Here.
Director Record.
Here.
And our legal counsel is also present.
Very good. Thank you for that. April, do we have anybody who's indicated they wish to make a public comment today at our meeting on any item not on the agenda?
Not that I'm aware of.
All right. Very good. We'll move on to item 2, which is our executive reports, and we'll welcome Mr. Mawad to the podium.
Good morning, President Pauly, members of the board. My report is included in your packet under new and ongoing items. As you're aware, Metropolitan has continued to develop the Climate Adaptation Master Plan for Water, and there is a task force that's been formed to guide and lead the effort. Both Director Armstrong and I are part of that task force, and we're very much engaged in those discussions that are being held at Metropolitan. There was a meeting scheduled this week on Monday, but unfortunately, due to the weather conditions, it was canceled. But the process has advanced. In fact, there's been discussions about the evaluative criteria, and that's been identified as reliability, resiliency, financial sustainability, affordability, equity, and environmental co-benefits. The next step in this process is to identify what they're terming as time-bound targets, essentially what does Metropolitan want to achieve by when. And it's been a robust conversation as well. Comments on this phase of the process are due this Friday, February 9th. We are currently collaborating with other like-minded agencies to put together a comment letter that we will be submitting to Metropolitan. In the coming weeks, we will be scheduling a briefing to the entire board on the CAMP process, and we'll arrange for a Metropolitan representative to be here to share with you more details about the Climate Adaptation Master Plan. I will also note that last week, Metropolitan released its initial budget and rate analysis for the upcoming 2 years, and the process will kick off next week. And so we are in the process of reviewing the initial budget and rates information that's been released. We are also planning on having Metropolitan's Chief Financial Officer come in the next couple months and share with you the details of Metropolitan's financial plan. Finally, I will note on the Metropolitan front, last week, Thursday and Friday, I had the opportunity to join 16 other general managers from Metropolitan's member agencies, and we were on the Colorado River aqueduct tour. It was a good 2 days, not only inspecting Metropolitan's facility, but also having a chance to catch up and have valuable discussions with the other general managers. Next, I wanted to share with the board, as the board is aware, back in 2014, we acquired approximately 200 acres of ag property located adjacent to our San Jacinto reclamation plant. As part of that acquisition, there was an existing house that was under lease, and we continued that arrangement. In fact, in February 2023, via a competitive solicitation, we renewed the ag lease for the property with the conditions that we can reduce the amount of acreage being farmed based on our needs to install facilities associated with our purified water replenishment program. But as part of that action in February 2023, we also extended the residential lease until the end of December 2023. And I wanted to share with the board that as of the end of last year, the tenant has vacated the property. And it was a very much amicable arrangement that we had negotiated and reached. At this point, the house has been boarded up. We're currently conducting asbestos testing. Once the final report is in, we will develop a scope of work to demolish the house. And we'll obviously continue with the ag lease as the board has directed us to do so. Next, I wanted to share an update with you on the Mead Valley and Good Hope projects. As you know, we have partnered with the County of Riverside to address water system needs within that community. And as we have advanced the site investigations and engineering, we've identified a number of what I would call spaghetti lines, where multiple residences are being supplied off of the same meter. And it's quite a challenging situation that we're trying to address. But we're fortunate in that we reached out to the county. And in having conversations with the county is willing to provide Eastern additional $400,000 to address the connection fees associated with those particular conditions. And I think that's going to help us resolve the issue without having to burden those particular customers unnecessarily. So I think it was a great effort by Supervisor Jeffries and the county staff to step up and provide us the additional funding. So we will be bringing back to this board an amendment to the ARPA agreement that we already have in place with the county, and that will be forthcoming next month for your consideration. Under items of interest to the board, wanted to share with you that between January 22nd through January 26th, we held our second annual Safety First Week. And this was an opportunity for us to re-engage with all of our team members and focus on safety. And the theme for this event was safety without compromise. And throughout the duration of the week, we had specific topics every day that we focused on, including focus and safety starts with each individual, take five, communication, get involved in continuous improvement. Every day there was information, flyers, and other information that was shared on that particular topic with the team. We also concluded the effort with a safety fair with extensive ergonomic equipment demonstrations, a safety boot vendor booth, and a personal protective equipment demonstration. Overall, the Safety First Week was very well received. It was a success. And we're going to continue to emphasize safety without compromise, of course, throughout the entire year. And we'll continue to share information with our team accordingly. Next, I wanted to share with you that on January 26th, I had the opportunity to participate on an infrastructure panel hosted by Senator Ochoa Bo. It was an opportunity to join other water agencies, including Beaumont Cherry Valley, as well as Lake Hemet Municipal Water District, and the City of Beaumont and others. And we truly appreciate Senator Ochoa Bo's focus on infrastructure needs. And it was an opportunity for myself and others to highlight the importance of infrastructure investment and what the state can do to provide further assistance along those lines. And also, we talked about some of the challenging regulatory environment up in Sacramento as well, and some of the things that can be addressed to help facilitate further infrastructure investments. We truly appreciate the senator's engagement and interest in addressing not only infrastructure issues, but specifically water industry issues. And finally, I wanted to share with the board that last month, as part of our ongoing efforts to enhance our customer experience, we commissioned our first payment kiosk in the lobby, in the main lobby. And this is going to allow our customers to who choose to pay in person to either use the walk-up teller, but also they can make payment via the kiosk. And the kiosk will accept credit cards, cash, checks, and you can get a receipt via text or email. It's just one more way to facilitate the interaction with our customers. And last year, we had almost 14,000 customers come in and pay their bills in our lobby, and we're hoping that this kiosk will actually be able to provide yet another means for them to work with us. Since last month, we had already 83 customers use the kiosk, so it's a success. And I just want to thank Charles Camaru and the entire team for taking on that project. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions the board may have.
Any questions from the board? I just had one on the payment kiosk because I saw a demonstration of it. If that is successful here, is that something we could roll out to maybe some selected grocery stores or other places where you have kind of the DMV things and other those type kiosks?
Yeah, I believe there's already an opportunity for customers through selected commercial sites, I would say, supermarkets and other places.
Correct. We have a number of retailers that accept payments on behalf of the district today already throughout the service area.
I was very impressed with it and glad we have that in the lobby. I just thought that would, you know, the more we can, I realize there's a lot of customers. There's a certain percentage that like to come in and pay their bill because they like to do that. But anything we can make it more convenient, especially with some of our cash payers, I'd be all in favor of doing that.
Absolutely. So. Thank you, President Pauling.
Very good.
Thank you.
All right. Laura, anything for us this morning?
I just wanted to provide a quick update on our collaboration with IE Works. We have successfully obtained an intern, a GIS mapping intern. We started looking for an intern back last year. IE Works conducted the outreach and the initial candidate screening of local college students enrolled in related courses, and our engineering services department was involved in the process. We selected a candidate, Michael Barbie. He began his internship on January 17th. He was selected due to his technical background and extended coursework in GIS, and he will be shadowing each role in maps and records and performing associated tasks related to his area of interest in support of the mapping team. In his first few weeks, he's demonstrated a professional demeanor and an eagerness to work and contribute to the team. So we're happy to have him on board, and our first intern with IE Works is working out fine.
Good. Good to hear. Thank you. Nick?
Yeah, I have one update I'd like to share with the board. After a little over 2 years of working diligently with the city of Paris and in performing due diligence, condition assessment, and assessing the water and sewer systems, we're at the point where we're putting the final touches to a memorandum of understanding and a very detailed work plan committing to the consolidation of the city's water and sewer systems into EMWD. Still a lot of work to be done. The work plan is very detailed. It touches upon operation, maintenance, engineering, finance, legal, all aspects of the business that we do. And we anticipate it'll take probably about 6 months to work through the details in the work plan. At this point in time, as I say, we're finalizing that MOU and work plan. The city is planning on taking that work plan to their city council for consideration next week at their city council meeting, and we are targeting our next board meeting on February 21st to bring forward for your consideration that MOU.
All right. Thank you. Very good news. Good morning.
Good morning, President Pauley and members of the board. Over the last few weeks, we have been working closely with South Coast Water District and the other potential project partners for the Doheny Ocean Desal Project, including Laguna Beach County Water District, City of San Clemente, and Elsinore Valley Municipal Water District, to convert the term sheet that you've previously approved into an agreement for our potential participation in the project. We also understand from South Coast that they are advancing the procurement and the selection of their design, build, operate, maintain team and have conducted a series of technical workshops with the three shortlisted firms. Additionally, Director Record, we have received additional information from South Coast Water District on the questions that you had regarding the other 16 outstanding conditions from the Coastal Commission permit, as well as the long-term lease for the campground from state lands. We're working on compiling that information and the appropriate format to provide you that update on.
I have a question for you. And what about, are there discussions about what governance would look like?
So those discussions will occur in parallel with the establishment of the GMP. And so right now they're working on the agreement for the phase 1A and 1B with the appropriate off-ramps that we asked for. As we are working with the other agencies now, this is actually, these last couple weeks, this is the first time we've actually collectively, as all the potential project partners, been working together. And so we're just starting to really formulate some of those discussions. So there'll definitely be more to come and another decision point for this board before we enter into any any type of governance structure.
And if I can add, Dr. Armstrong, I would say that one of the things that we're waiting on is to understand who the partners will be on the project so that we can sit down with all the partners who are serious on moving forward to talk about the appropriate governance structure. There has been the discussion of the various options, be it a JPA or be it other models that we're familiar with and our team is familiar with. So conceptually, there's been discussions about different options, but until we understand who our partners are on the project, it's probably a little premature to enter into that type of discussion.
All right, Matt?
Okay. Over the weekend, depending on exactly which weather station you look at, we received between 3 and 4 inches of rain. Thankfully, it was pretty, moderate but steady up until yesterday afternoon. But the district overall did well. We had a few lift stations reach high level, but there were no spills or failures there, so that was great. The reclamation plants did see 30% to 40% more flow. And some of these numbers I've never seen before in my career. Paris typically would treat 14 million gallons per day. Yesterday, they totaled 24 million gallons treated. That's an increase of 10. So for our facilities, that's remarkable. Temecula also, they usually do 16. They received 21.5, so they went 5.5 million gallons over. And Moreno Valley wound up bypassing 1.5 million gallons of raw influent down to Paris, so that's kind of included in Paris's number. But congratulations to the operators. They did really well in handling all that flow. There were no spills, and we met all of our permit requirements. So great job by all of the wastewater crews. On the water side, all those facilities weathered everything well. We so far have discharged about 3,700 acre feet of recycled water, which will continue. And at Grant Avenue, diversion is going really well this year. We had made repairs to that facility. Our repairs are holding up. We were diverting up to 28,000 GPM during the storm, and everything held up during those high flows, and we've totaled 310 acre feet diverted so far for this season. So that's going well. The last issue we had was just a handful of minor roof leaks, which we're addressing. So far, so good. We are expecting some heavy rains tonight, an additional inch of rain, but we're expecting everything to hopefully go smoothly.
Excellent. I think for the whole board, pass on our kudos to the teams out there, because that was an amazing amount coming through, and we did well on it. So thank you.
Absolutely.
I have a question on it. Just follow up. when you see the flows increase to that degree, is that a concern? Is it just streets are flooded and manholes are just water's flowing in? I mean, or is it a concern, or do we know why it's increasing so much?
Yeah, it is a concern. For example, at Paris, I've never seen that kind of increase for a plant that typically takes four. That was almost 50% increase in I&I. It's just really difficult to track it down. It could have been people popping manhole lids to alleviate, local flooding. The streets were full. The good news is, if you'll recall, a little over a year ago, we did put our camera inspection van into service. So that's one of my priorities for that equipment, is to have staff find these areas in the sewer that might be experiencing infiltration, so we can make repairs. Moreno Valley is one of those areas where we think we've narrowed it down, and with the current weather, we think we'll be able to find the exact location to make a repair, which will reduce inflow, TDS coming into that facility. So as we continue work with that system, we'll fix some of these issues and hopefully reduce these in the long term. Engineering's starting off another inspection of the Warm Springs Interceptor down near Temecula. That lift station usually struggles in the rain, so we're hoping to learn some more from that process. So,
Director Redford.
Well, I appreciate doing work like that. It's very important. And saw again that LA County had issues, and they really, I think, got a lot more rain than we did. But if you know, obviously if we can avoid having situations where we have actual sewage spills, that's certainly the goal. So keep up the good work.
Thank you. All right. That brings us to item three this morning, which is our consent calendar. Are there any members of the board like a separate vote on an item or abstain from an item? Seeing none, I will look for a – oh, I'm sorry, Director Record?
Well, I'll abstain on the minutes.
So. Okay, so Director Record will abstain on the minutes, but other than that, can we get a motion by Director Slauson, second by Director Corona? May I get a roll call vote, please, with Director Record abstaining on item A?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
That passes 5-0 with Director Record abstaining on item A. Takes us to our action calendar this morning. Item A on that is to approve and authorize award a contract to Ferrera Coastal Construction, Inc. for $360,000 under RFP number 3671, Manzanita Tank Piping Replacement, an additional appropriation of $500,000. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning. Presenting the Manzanita Tank Piping Replacement Project. Recommending an award of construction contract to Ferrera Coastal Construction. This project will take place at the Manzanita Tank. The Manzanita Tank is located in the Moreno Valley at the northern end of our district service area. The tank was constructed in 1953, and the valve assembly is approaching the end of its useful service life. In addition, the below-grade facilities are not easily accessible and require additional safety coordination when maintaining equipment. Operations requested replacement of the below-grade valve assembly. This proposed project will demo the existing below-grade assembly and construct new facilities above grade. Krieger & Stewart provided design services for the Manzanita Tank Rehab Project, which was completed in 2022. The rehab scope included interior recoating, structural repair, and the installation of a new tank outlet. This new tank outlet will be used in this project. Due to Krieger & Stewart's prior work on the Manzanita Tank, the district contracted the Krieger & Stewart to continue the design of the valve replacement and valve and piping replacement. The graphic in the slide shows the new alignment. In November of last year, the district advertised this project to on-call mechanical contractors. Three bidders attended the mandatory pre-bid walkthrough. This past December, the district received one bid. As shown on the bid summary sheet, Ferrera Coastal Construction submitted a bid of approximately $360,000. The engineer's estimate for the project was approximately $400,000. If this recommendation is approved, the contractor will begin in February and complete the project no later than July 2024. So Krieger & Stewart is the engineer of record for the project. To provide continuing engineering support, Krieger & Stewart submitted a proposal for approximately $21,000. Their scope includes reviewing submittals, responding to RFIs, and change order support. So our recommendation today is execution of a construction contract with Ferrera Coastal Construction for the Manzanita Tank Piping Replacement Project for approximately $360,000, execution of a contract with Krieger & Stewart for engineering support during construction for approximately $21,000, administrative award of other necessary contracts to complete the project, and additional appropriation of approximately $500,000, which brings the total estimated project cost to $540,000. With that, I can answer any questions.
Any questions on this item?
I'll move approval.
To move it, Director Lawson has moved it. Director Corona has seconded it. I get a roll call vote, please.
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Passes 5-0. I believe you have the next item.
That's right.
All right.
So for this project, we are requesting an amendment to Webb Associates' design agreement for the district's headquarters security and access control project. The district is looking to improve functionality, efficiency, and security of the headquarters campus. In working with Web and Risk Management, we came up with a plan to improve campus security with two separate projects. The first project is to retrofit Gate 1 with a prepared area to allow a temporary guard shack to be placed with power and controls, and to construct a pedestrian walkway at both gates for employee safety. Schuler Constructors completed this project last year. The second project, which is currently ongoing, will replace the guardhouse at Gate 5. Webb Associates is currently in the final phases of this design. In the design of this project, we are relocating the guardhouse from alongside Loop Road to the corner as shown in the slide. This will allow the guardhouse to be elevated to have better visibility down Mapes Road. Other benefits of this project are a larger footprint, which allows for additional security staffing, improved workstations with access to all camera views, and break room and restroom facilities to maintain a security presence. So as I've said, Webb Associates are in the final design phases. However, an ongoing project to upgrade the OMC fuel station impacts the power and control lines coming from the remote building. Originally, our design calls for using the existing power and control lines all the way down to the bottom corner. But to better coordinate these two projects, we revised the electrical plants to have a common conduit run. The advantages of doing this are to minimize construction costs and to clean up the conductors in the conduits. So staff received a proposal from Webb in the amount of approximately $34,000 to incorporate the revisions into the design. In addition to the power and control changes, the amended design scope includes additional bidding services incurred during the first project with Gate 1 and additional tasks to complete landscaping and canopies for the Gate 5 guardhouse. No additional appropriation is requested. So our recommendation today is execution of a design amendment with Webb Associates for approximately $34,000 and administrative award of other necessary contracts to complete the project. With that, I can answer any questions.
Any questions? And I realize I didn't read the item, so I will. To approve and authorize an amendment with Albert A. Webb Associates for $33,000 for final design at EMWD Headquarters Security and Access Control Project. Director Armstrong, would you like to move that item?
Yep.
Second. Director Slauson, would you like to second that item? May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
That passes 5-2-0. Item C is to approve and award a contract with Scorpion, Backhoe Incorporated, for $226,000 for the Holland Road recycled water pipeline crossing, an appropriation of $305,000. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, board members. My name is Nick Kokotis. I'll be presenting on this item. This project is a recycled water gap pipeline in the city of Menifee. It is generally located at the intersection of Hahn Road and Holland Road, as shown in the figure. The project area is within the active construction of the city of Menifee's Holland Road overpass. The new recycled water infrastructure was installed east of Hahn Road for landscape irrigation. However, the facilities are not connected to our active recycled water system. The proposed gap pipeline project will connect the new facilities to the active system west of Hahn Road. And the purpose today for this item is to award a construction contract and ancillary services for construction of the project. If you've driven down the 215 freeway, you have likely noticed the Holland Road overpass project is well underway. This photo was taken in early January from Holland Road looking east across Hahn Road. Staff expedited the design and bidded phases of this project so the construction can be complete before the city's street improvements and paving restoration at the intersection. The pipeline project has been coordinated with the city of Menifee and an encroachment permit has been obtained. The project consists of approximately 380 linear feet of 8-inch PVC pipe and it starts on the west with a connection to our existing system, and then it crosses over the Paloma Wash, across Hahn Road, and where it will tie into the recently constructed 6-inch pipeline. On December 28, the district advertised the project for bids to our on-call underground pipeline contractors. 6 bids were received on January 16, and all were deemed responsive. Bids are tabulated on this slide, and the engineer's estimate was approximately $280,000. Scorpion Backhoe of Hemet submitted the lowest responsive bid in the amount of approximately $227,000. Here on behalf of Scorpion Backhoe is Justin Wells.
Well, thank you for coming today, sir.
Scorpion Backhoe has been a contractor with the district since 2004, and they've successfully completed projects of similar size and complexity. Engineering and survey services during construction will be provided by Cozad and Fox. Cozad is the engineer of record and prepared bidding documents with support from staff. Cozad submitted their proposal for said services in the amount of approximately $12,000, and their fee is commensurate with the level of effort. Should the board award this project, construction will begin immediately with procurement and potholing. Pipeline construction and site restorations will be complete in April of 2024, and construction closeout in May. Staff's recommendation is to approve and authorize execution by the general manager a standard form of contract with Scorpion Backhoe for construction of the project in the amount of approximately $227,000, an amendment to Cozad and Fox for construction phase services in the amount of approximately $12,000, administrative award of necessary contracts for construction of the project, an additional appropriation of approximately $306,000 to fund construction of the project. This concludes the presentation, and we can take any questions.
Any questions?
Oh, looks good.
So it's all pretty much undeveloped over in that area now. Is this just for in anticipation for what's going to develop there in the future and get the line in there now for that, or...
Well, to get the line in before the city finishes their improvements, but the infrastructure that's on the east side of Hahn Road will be for landscape irrigation. There are some businesses over there that will be using that, and as well as the overpass. Okay.
Would you like to move the item?
Yeah, I'll move the item.
Second, Director Slauson. Moved by Director Armstrong. Second by Director Slauson. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauling?
Aye.
Director Crono?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Passes 5-0. Great presentation. Thank you for being here today, sir. That will move us to item 5 today, which is our informational items, and we will start with our first quarter enterprise performance. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, President Pauling, members of the board. It's my pleasure to present the fiscal year 2024 first quarter enterprise metrics. So this first slide takes a look at our balanced scorecard for the first quarter. We have one metric that is still under development, and we have three that are performing outside of goal and 8 metrics that are within goal. And we'll get into those details now. So the first measure is our water operating cost. It's an efficiency measure, and this is the one that we are taking some additional time to refine. We want to make sure that this measure provides the best insight into the operational efficiency of our water system. So we're looking at the benchmarking data some more, considering measures such as the water operating cost per account, total cost of potable water services, so that would be the cost per million gallons produced, and water operating cost per 100 miles of pipe in the system. Our next measure is the wastewater treatment operating cost per million gallons treated. For this measure, we have a new goal. Since this is the first quarter, we have taken a look at all of the goals for each of the measures and updated them based on the fiscal year 2023-24 budget. So the monthly goal for this measure is now $4,816 per million gallons. And as you can see, we did very well in the first quarter controlling costs and coming in under that goal. Our next measure is the recycled water storage. And the goal for this measure is to utilize between 75 and 120% of our forecasted storage. Our forecasted storage is based on a two-year average storage level. And as you are aware, we've had much higher storage just due to weather this year than in previous years. So we'll continue to see levels above our forecasted storage as we go into the next quarter as well. And as Matt mentioned, we've started discharging in January. And looking at the recycled water usage, we had our usage was slightly below historical average, but you know, looked pretty good considering the weather during the first quarter. Our next measure is our self-generated power, and our solar facilities and microturbines continue to perform well. So we see high performance versus anticipated production. We had a slightly lower percentage of power generated in August, and that's just due to a mechanical failure at the San Jacinto facility, which has been repaired. The next measure is our customer hours out of service. And we've refined this metric to focus on unplanned hours. So now, as you look at the bar chart, you'll see that it's split. The top portion, the gray part of the bar, represents unplanned hours and represents the district's ongoing commitment to system improvements. The bottom part of the bar represents our unplanned hours, and our goal also is based on unplanned hours. We have a goal of less than 4 unplanned hours per 1,000 accounts. For August, we were above that goal due to some mainline breaks throughout the district. But for the other 2 months, we are below that goal. The next metric is our wastewater treatment reliability. This represents our system uptime and in regards to our permit. This metric is important because it impacts our ability to produce our recycled water. For the first quarter, we are within goal. And our next measure is the reportable wastewater spills of collection systems and treatment systems. At the last quarterly update, we discussed revamping this metric to align with the California Integrated Water Quality System reporting, which reports spills per 100 miles of pipe and provides a regional average. Unfortunately, that system is undergoing some revamping, and so the data is unavailable. So we have delayed implementing the change to this metric. But we expect that the system will be back online by April, and just due to regulations and reporting requirements, that's when we're estimating the data will be available again. So we should have that data for our second quarter update.
So given what Matt told us this morning, that number should look really good for the second quarter.
No spills?
It should look pretty good. There were a couple minor spills, okay. but it should continue to look really good.
With what happened over the last couple of days, that will average out to our favor, I think.
Yes.
Very good. Sorry about that. But.
That's okay. So in the meantime, with this measure, we're still reporting the number of spills that have occurred. We had no spills in July. In August, we had one spill in Winchester on Expedition Drive, and that was caused by construction debris left in the manhole. Approximately 30 gallons were recovered along with the washdown water. We also had one spill in September, which was in Hemet on Bethel Avenue, and that one was caused by tree roots in the sewer line. 388 gallons were spilled, but all of it was recovered, we're happy to say. Our next measure is the customer satisfaction score, which measures our after-call surveys and our last experience surveys for service visits. And the goal is to keep this, to keep our satisfaction scores above 4 out of a 1 to 5 range. And as you can see, the customer satisfaction scores remain favorable for the first quarter. I do want to note for this metric that the customer service and public and governmental affairs team are looking at new ways to collect and encourage customer feedback. So, you know, possibly new surveys to engage with customers.
I have a comment on that one. I think it would be nice on this to like know how many surveys there are in those periods.
Sure.
I mean, is it a lot? Is it hundreds? Is it?
Typically less than 100 in each category. I'll have to take a look at the specific numbers, but, you know, it fluctuates month to month. We can, you know, have 1 month with about 80 or so surveys, just after call surveys.
Yeah.
Or, you know, some months it's more like 50.
Okay.
Our next measure is our injury and illness rate. And this measure is, we've kept the goal at 3, well, less than 3 injuries per each month. And we actually have had the, I'm sorry, we remain focused to... Sorry, I lost my place in my presentation. So this metric is important because it's tracking our and measuring our continuing commitment to our safety culture at the district. You know, as Joe mentioned, we recently had the second Safety First Week. And we are, just due to the ongoing efforts, we are seeing much lower injury rates. So we'll continue to see this go down. The injury rate is reported as a rolling average. So you'll see it slowly decrease because, you know, it's 12 months of injury rates being averaged on a monthly basis. Our next measure is the general and administrative costs as a percentage of our total operating costs. This is another measure that's reported as a rolling average. So data from, you know, the previous 12 months, the rate from the previous 12 months will continue to affect the results. So the goal for this measure is 11%. And again, that's been updated for the fiscal year 23-24 budget. So you can see that we are actually above the goal. And again, that is just due to the rolling average, and we were below budget with operating costs, specifically purchased water. We had much lower purchased water, and our G&A costs were slightly above budget. And that was just due to the cost of living increases and inflation. So because we have less operating costs and higher G&A, that pushes up the percentage, you know, the percentage ratio. So, you know, we'll continue to see this for a few months. And our next measure is the net operating cost, which is our operating revenue minus our operating costs. So the goal for this metric has been refined to account for seasonal variations in revenue and operating costs. Our average goal for this year, for the fiscal 23-24 budget, is $2.5 million. And for the first quarter, we are above that margin, so we did very well. And the final metric is the capital improvement project actual to budget. The fiscal year goal for 23-24 is $150 million. And as you can see, we had our implementation ended the quarter at about 67%. And this is consistent with prior fiscal years. We typically have this type of start. But we've ended December at 86%. So we've definitely picked up as far as implementation. So you should expect to see that in the green for the second quarter. So to summarize, we have one goal, one metric that's still under development. We have eight that are performing well, and we have three measures that are currently outside their goal: the recycled water storage, general and administrative costs, and capital improvement program actual to budget. The next update is scheduled for April 2024, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
Any questions? No. Great numbers. Thank you. Great report, as always. Appreciate it. With that, we'll go on to item B, which is our strategic plan update. Mr. Mawad.
Thank you, President Pauly, members of the board. We wanted to provide you with an update on our strategic plan implementation efforts. We provide this update on an annual basis. And I wanted, before I start, I wanted to just really express my appreciation to the whole team. We obviously feel very strongly this is a team effort. It's a collective effort by the entire organization to advance the strategic plan priorities and projects. And specifically, I want to express my appreciation for Laura. She's been sort of our shepherd, if you will, in making sure we stay on target. So with that, as you know, we have a triennial strategic plan that spans the period of 2022 through 2024. In fact, later this year, we're going to be embarking on a new strategic plan that will cover the period of 2025 through 2027. What I truly value about our strategic plan is we start not only with the typical mission and vision, but then we drill down into a standards of excellence that we value as an organization. But from that standards of excellence, then we derive strategic priorities. But then beyond that, we have specific initiatives, essentially whether you want to call them projects or initiatives, but these are actionable initiatives. And I think what that does, it ties in everything that we do on a daily basis among the entire team to the overarching objective, to the overarching mission of this organization. I think that is very valuable as an organization to see the progress that we make along those specific, not only initiatives, but the overarching priorities for this organization. So one thing I want to mention is when we updated this current plan, we carried over 35 strategic priorities or initiatives. And in January of 2022, we added 22 new initiatives. And last year, we added seven. And this year, we are proposing to add another five. Now, to date, we've also completed 21 of those initiatives, which I'll highlight in my presentation. And we are expecting to complete many more later this year as well. And I'll also highlight, as I go through this information, the five additional initiatives that we are proposing going forward for this year. Mind you, many of these initiatives are multi-year initiatives. Some can be completed within a year, but some will, as we'll go through this, take several years to complete. So I mentioned our standards of excellence. Just a reminder, they include highly reliable and cost-effective water, wastewater, recycled water service, protection of public and environmental health, superior customer service, sound planning and operational efficiency, fiscal responsibility and appropriate investment, being an exemplary employer, and effective communication, advocacy, and community partnership. So under the Centers of Excellence, the first strategic priority that I wanted to discuss is our water supply diversity and reliability. And again, you see those specific initiatives that we are working on. Of those that we completed recently are highlighted in blue, the Paris 2 desalter program implementation, and as well as the Metropolitan Integrated Resource Planning implementation, the One Water. That has been combined with the other engagement efforts with Metropolitan that you'll see later on under 7.4. Under the water supply diversity reliability strategic priority, you'll see at the bottom we are adding recycled water master plan. It's been a number of years since we've updated our recycled water master plan in terms of what are the long-term strategic priorities for this organization. Given the ongoing growth, the ongoing efforts that we will have more recycled water, we feel it's very much appropriate to go ahead and update that master plan. And you'll see on this list the Doheny Ocean Desal project that we discussed earlier, as well as the joint effort with our neighboring agencies on the Southwestern Water Alliance and other important initiatives that we're currently working on. Under water use efficiency, we continue to work on the landscape transformation initiative, as well as the advocacy for equitable implementation of the water use efficiency and conservation requirements. The conservation is a way of life regulation by the state. We have our entire water use efficiency team engaged on that effort, making sure that our voice is heard in Sacramento when it comes to those regulations. And of course, as you know, we continue to promote our water use efficiency through our accurate water budgets. And this year we'll be updating the aerial images for our customers and making sure we have more accurate budgets, water budgets assigned to our customers. Under permitting and regulatory compliance, we continue to work on the Quail Valley Sewer System Subarea 4. In fact, we're making good progress on that front, and we continue to seek additional grant funding to help us with the construction. And as you know, we continue to work on PFAS mitigation. And we recently did complete our climate action plan. It's not shown here as complete because it still has to be fully certified. So we are working on that as well. Under strategic priority of customer focus, we did complete our biannual customer survey. And under technology, as you know, we did roll out our new billing system. But the reason it still is shown on here is not complete is there are still enhancements that we want to incorporate into the system that we're currently working on. And once those are fully implemented, then we'll mark this as complete. And we're currently embarking on a website redesign. And under customer arrearages, or I should say customer advocacy, yes, we are continuing to work on arrearages. As you know, we did collect $5.8 million from the state to address arrearages. But as you're also aware, the state recently extended the qualifying period, and we recently submitted for an additional $1.7 million, and once we receive that, then we will be able to check this off as completed as well. Under operational efficiency, we working with operations, maintenance, and MATS team, we completed the operational metrics through SCADA effort, as well as implementation of our field mobile applications, and I know the board recently saw an information item on that. But we're also embarked, and you'll see the two new initiatives there, the biosolids master plan. I think the board is aware with the potential for more restrictive regulations as far as land application of biosolids. We wanted to make sure we understand fully our options long-term relative to biosolids management. And in addition, we're also embarking on a beneficial reuse effort to look at our digester gas. We recently retired our fuel cell facilities, and we need to find what is an economical and reasonable technology that we can utilize for reuse or at least an option of digester gas. And under energy independence, as you know, we've completed construction of the battery storage facilities. In fact, we've received three PTOs, permit to operate. We're waiting on the remaining ones, but once we get those PTOs, then we can check that off as complete. And, of course, we're working on our fleet electrification. In fact, we're about to start construction very soon here at the headquarters for the facilities that will charge our fleet. Under the strategic priority of groundwater management administration, we did complete the groundwater resource management system. And under maintenance, we were able to complete the heavy fleet CNG conversion, as well as the pump motor vibration monitoring. In working with maintenance, they are embarking on a facility condition assessment program. We want to make sure that we address refurbishment and replacement of our aging facilities in a programmatic fashion. And to do that, we need a comprehensive assessment of our facilities. Under cybersecurity, we completed the initiative, but mind you, it's not that we're resting on cybersecurity. Essentially, what this means is now that we've completed that initiative, it becomes programmatic. It becomes something that we do day in, day out. And Mike Malone and his team have done a fabulous job in making sure that our systems have the appropriate cybersecurity measures. Under physical security, as you know, we are currently conducting a physical security risk assessment. In fact, next month, we'll be in front of the board in closed session to give you an update on the results of that assessment. Under financial stability, we're working on a comprehensive fiscal policies that we'll be bringing forward to the board for consideration. And under proportionate cost of service, as you know, we've completed a number of these initiatives, including our fee-for-service restructuring, the recycled water rate study that was completed, as well as a cost of service study, and, of course, establishment of the Section 115 trust. So the finance group has been very busy over the past year completing many of these initiatives, and but we, again, still have a number of other outstanding priorities and initiatives that we're working on. We talked about safety earlier today. Under workforce excellence, as the board is aware, we did complete the negotiations for the new MOU, and also we did complete implementation of a program for our water operations staff cross-training. Under community relations, we completed the annual comprehensive outreach and communications master plan. And under advocacy, we are combining our ongoing efforts to address failing water systems with another strategic initiative that is presented right above it, which is the state framework and legislative effort on mandatory consolidation. So those two will be combined. And we also completed our outreach effort to the Latino community. It doesn't mean, again, that that ceases to exist. It means it becomes programmatic. It becomes part of what we do every day as part of our outreach efforts. Also under advocacy, we completed the initial initiative educating our elected officials regarding our drought response plan that we experienced during the three-year drought. And also we published our electronic annual report. And also, we completed our interagency development outreach. We are proposing a new initiative, and that's our stakeholder focus group program, where we will be developing a framework to engage with our stakeholders, including our HOAs, and as well as our recycled water customers and other important stakeholders in our community, to make sure we have a established mechanism to hear their feedback and to also be able to communicate with them. So I know I went through this very quickly, but I also want to point you to the detailed spreadsheet that is contained in your packet that has information relative to every particular initiative that we are tracking, that we've completed, or that we are proposing to go forward. It's something that our team monitors on a regular basis. We, you know, often these initiatives are not strictly residing within one work group or one department. They're cross-departmental. So we work and we coordinate among the various work groups to make sure we advance these efforts. And frankly, this is a lot of the hard work that goes on behind the scenes among our team to make sure that we continue to elevate this organization. This is an important mechanism to help us move forward as an organization. So to date, we've completed 21 high-priority strategic initiatives. We are expecting 27 more initiatives to be completed by the end of this calendar year. And again, we are seeing progress on all fronts. We are proposing 5 new initiatives that I mentioned, including Recycled Water Master Plan, the Biosolids Master Plan, the study to look at beneficial reuse of digester gas, the facility condition assessment relative to maintenance and programmatic approach for refurbishment of our existing facilities, and then the stakeholder focus group that I mentioned. With that, I know the team would value any input from the board relative to our plan going forward. And as I said, we will be launching later this year an effort to update our next triennial strategic plan. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions the board may have.
Any questions? Director Record?
Good report, Joe. I'm just curious, continue to increase the number of priorities. I mean, is it get a little overwhelming sometimes. It just feels like you're moving the goalposts a little bit. So.
That's a great question, Dr. Record. So, I do think it's important to continue to set a higher goal for the organization. And I realize sometimes there seems to be a great deal that we're doing, and we are doing a great deal. But keep in mind that we are also continuing to complete a number of these initiatives. We are scheduled, in addition to the 21 that we completed over the past year, we're scheduled to complete 27 more this year. So I think it's a balance. We want to make sure that we have the appropriate resources to undertake these priorities, these initiatives. I think if, from my perspective, if I started to see us setting the bar and not quite making progress, then perhaps we've set it too high or we've taken on too much. But so far, I feel that we have a good balance. We continue to move forward on many fronts. And frankly, if things just become, if we need more resources, I know this board has always been very supportive of asking for more resources. So I think we have a good balance, Director Rick.
Okay. Glad to see recycled water master plan update. That's a really important resource for this agency, and we've always treated it that way. And I think it's an appropriate time to maybe see about some lessons learned from efforts that have been made in the Carson plant and maybe what's happening in San Diego. So I look forward to engaging on that.
Thank you, Dr. Urquhart. And I agree with you. I think, you know, our last recycled water master plan set our roadmap, if you will, for the last many years, including not only our purple pipe system expansion, but our purified water replenishment program and other programs. I think it's important now to take a fresh look at our system, especially with the DPR regulations advanced by the state. So I think it's important for us to look at what's happening in our service area, the demands and supplies, and is there something else that we need to be thinking about? So I fully agree with you. Our area continues to grow dramatically, and that means there's going to be more recycled water available to us that we need to make sure we are putting to beneficial use.
Director Armstrong.
Yeah, I just wanted to compliment you. I think that having the standards of excellence and then identifying these priorities and initiatives and tactics to accomplish those really keeps the organization focused in the right direction. And I think you're just doing a great job. And I share Director Record's, you know, concern that, you know, these things can grow so big and grow each year. They just continue to grow. But I think you're doing a great job of trying to accomplish them and adding appropriate ones going forward as needed to make sure we meet those standards of excellence that are identified. So I think it's a great effort and great accomplishment this year.
Thank you, Dr. Armstrong. And I will add, many of these new initiatives that were identified come through as a result of conversations with our managers. It's our managers who identify some of these opportunities that, hey, maybe we need to be looking at facility condition assessment more in a programmatic fashion, or we need to look at a recycled water master plan update. So it's through that dialogue that takes place among the management team that often we identify what is the next tier of objectives that we want to achieve. But I appreciate the remarks, and I do recognize that we're often operating on full cylinders, but frankly, we couldn't do this without the board's support. And this board has been consistently supportive of our efforts and wanting to make sure we continue to elevate this organization.
Well, and just hearing your comments, I mean, understanding now that some of these new priorities are coming from deeper in the organization,
yes,
just shows how successful you're doing at communicating the priorities and embracing that in the entire organization.
Thank you.
So that's even better.
Thank you, Dr. Armstrong.
Anybody else? Very good. No, nice job on this, and look forward to our next planning session. So,
thank you.
All right. Go on to item 6, which is to receive and file various reports. I'll need a motion from Director Corona, second from Director Slauson. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Passes 5-0. That will bring us to our calendar review. Good morning.
Good morning, President Pauly, members of the board. This morning I have two events of interest for your reviewing consideration, and that first event is the French Valley Community Fair, which is scheduled for Saturday, March 2nd in Murrieta. And the second event is the Aqua 2024 Spring Conference and Expo on Tuesday, May 7th through Thursday, May 9th, and this will be in Sacramento. Flyers with further details are included within your packets. Turning to page 2, you will find the current listing of the board members' master calendar for the next 2 weeks. If you would please review the information and let me know if there are any changes or updates needed. On page 3 is the list of upcoming events with participants beginning Wednesday, February 21st through Friday, February 23rd is the Urban Water Institute Spring 2024 Conference in Palm Springs. Tuesday, February 27th through Thursday, February 29th is the Aqua DC 2024 Annual Conference in Washington, D.C. Monday, March 10th through Thursday, March 14th is the Water Reuse 2024 Symposium in Denver. And lastly is the Sacramento Lobby Day taking place on Tuesday, March 19th in Sacramento. Continuing on page 3 is the list of the upcoming board meetings. And on page 4 is the list of committee meetings as well as the interagency meetings, all are on schedule. For the out-of-office schedule, we have one board member who will be out of the area beginning Friday, February 9th through Wednesday, February 14th. And for district office schedule, holiday schedule, Monday, February 19th, in celebration of President's Day, EMWD offices will be closed. That is all I have today. If you have any comments or questions.
Could you note I will not be here for the April 3rd board meeting.
Okay.
Director Corona can run that. I will. For director records benefit, I will be touring Cal Poly SLO with our youngest son that day. So, okay. trying to make good choices for our kids.
Thank you. We'll note that.
We also have Pomona on the schedule, though, right. Joe. So
we'll let him make the decision. You're going to make
it. Got to show him all the options. So, okay. All right. Thank you very much for that, and that will take us to board member attendance reports, and we will start with Director Armstrong.
Okay, on January 17th and 18th, I had the opportunity to join a tour with Metropolitan. The Delta Counties Coalition came down here to tour some of the facilities in Southern California. So the coalition is made up of 5 counties that touch the Delta. So we had about say 8 or so of the supervisors from Sacramento, San Jacinto, Contra Costa. I can't think of all the other two counties up there, but Yolo and another one. They came down. They wanted to see what's going on in Southern California. They toured San Diego, Pure Water, toured Diamond Valley Lake. They toured an agricultural nursery in Escondido, Carson, Pure Water, and went to the city of Compton and met with city staff and the mayor there, and they attended a dinner, and it was just a really good event, and it was very interesting. It was, I think, the thing that was, they recognized there's a lot of efforts in Southern California to address water reliability, and I think they were impressed with some of the things that were being done. They're really looking for any way that we could find some common ground to work together and build a relationship. So they're very supportive of everything except putting a new straw in the Delta and getting any more water down here. That's the only thing that they don't want to do. But I think it was a productive meeting and tour. As General Manager mentioned, the long-term regional planning, just working on those evaluative criteria and the time-bound targets. And that process is a two-step forward, one-step back kind of process. And it's moving forward, but at a very, I think, slow pace. Let's see. The tunnel boring machine naming ceremony was at March Air Force Base, and so the tunnel boring equipment that's going to tunnel under the 215 freeway and connect the two sides of the freeway together. There was a contest that Metropolitan had to name that equipment, that machine, and so there was a third grader from one of the elementary schools in Moreno Valley that came up with the name, and I can't remember the name.
Rachel Carson.
Rachel Carson.
Yes. And so it was...
Rachel Carson. Which is an odd name for a boring machine, but she's a very nice young lady.
Yeah, it was really good, man. And it really, you know, hats off to her and her. She's very well spoken. I mean, for a third grade student to not only stand up and address all of these people and her classmates and all these people in jackets and all the construction people, but there was a news camera right in front of her. And she was just flawless. She was really good. And they interviewed her on the news. And, I mean, so for a third grader, very, very impressive. And anyways, it was a really, really good event. Let's see. Update with the general manager was really good. The Diamond Valley Memorandum of Intent Implementation Committee. That's really, I think, a really engaged and really appreciative group of stakeholders that are interested in what's happening with recreation at Diamond Valley Lake. And Met provided an update. Efforts are moving forward to construct a new bike trail that connects Diamond Valley Lake to Lake Skinner. They're working on their wave attenuators. And there was a record level of visitors and use of the recreation out there last year. So there's just more interest growing and more use happening out there. And our deferred comp administrative committee, I think that's just a really good oversight committee. Things look good, and the participation in deferred comp at Eastern still is among the top in all of their clients. So good news there. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Director Corona.
Okay. So I had my monthly meeting with general managers. Good meeting. The... had our LAFCO agenda review with Nick and Paul. That was a good meeting. Then we had the actual LAFCO commission meeting where the Los Alamos project annexation was approved. There was only one person there to oppose it. Speaking of LAFCO, Commissioner Estrada was telling me that he attended the deal that that Jeff was just talking about with the folks from up north, and now him and Jeff are just best buddies. And Jeff thinks that I'm doing an okay job as a as a board member. So that's good. Murrieta Temecula Group. We had a speaker was Mike Hestron, DA, and start talking about. Homelessness and crime and all the things that DAs talk about. And yesterday we had the Eastern and Rancho ad hoc committee, and that was also a good meeting. Although I think that one of the directors at Rancho was a little upset over the potential of a 13 and a 7% rate increase, but hopefully that won't.
And just to clarify, Dr. Corona, that's the initial proposal from Metropolitan.
Yes, I know.
All right. I attended the Deferred Comp Administrative Committee meeting. As Director Armstrong said, we are one of the top participants in the state. And, again, I give Laura and the whole team a lot of credit for that. A great program for our employees. Director Armstrong also mentioned the tunnel boring machine. That was a fantastic event. I fully suspect that young lady will probably be the general manager here at Eastern someday. She's very poised. And
Two or three years.
And it's an impressive project when you see those tunnel boring machines and all the work that goes into them. So it was really a good event. And a lot of the leadership from Met was there, and so I'm glad to have them out here. Went to the Southern California Water Coalition quarterly meeting, had a panel including Kurt Wilson from WRCOG on it, talking about just regional perceptions and of water. And so it was a very interesting lunch and interesting panel. Southern California Water Coalition, Municipal Water District of Orange County Forum. I thought it was pretty good. The general manager of the San Diego County Water Authority there when kind of publicly admitted that perhaps they have some relationship rebuilding to do, which I thought was interesting with some of their other agencies. Did not get a chance to do the meeting with Laura, and WRCOG was canceled because of the rain. Is that Director Record?
So monthly update, General Manager, good meeting, and I did not make the committee meeting yesterday, and I apologize for at least not letting you know that I wouldn't be participating. Shayla sent out a reminder, and anyway, didn't make it.
Okay, Director Slauson.
Yes, I had the monthly update with our general manager. That was fine. Went to the installation dinner for the Chamber of Commerce, Moreno Valleys, and a lot of local electorates were there. I was sworn in for another term as a director. Attended the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce last week, and there were updates from RCC. In fact, the chancellor was there, and from the school district, and from the city, and from EMWD, Consuelo, gave that. I also attended SOPI yesterday, and we authorized agreements with Ralph Anderson for a classification and compensation study, and with GEI Consultants for the regional bacteria monitoring program. That's it.
Director Armstrong.
Yeah, I wanted to mention one other meeting I attended that was on the list, and that was I attended a community meeting in Menifee with Amanda Fine and with John Worth, and it's related to the Cherry Hills Golf Course and that whole community and the North Course and the South Course, which have been bought by a developer, and so those golf courses are now both permanently closed, and there was probably 300 people in attendance, and they were turning away people. It was really an engaged crowd that was there. And so the developer was looking for input from them on what they would like to see done in that area and how he will formulate his plans to develop it. But I just bring it up because I know that golf course is a recycled water customer, and the recycled water master planning effort that's going to take place now. I think this is important for that too. I'm sure it's a couple hundred acre feet annually, and I don't know if it's good that we now have more recycled water or if it's, you know, we're losing an important, you know, recycled water user. I'm not really sure, but anyways, that's going to happen, and it's probably already started, I'm assuming. I'm not sure, but anyways, just wanted to mention that too.
How mad were they?
They were mad. Yeah. Yeah, it almost didn't get started. The developer started to introduce himself and what his company is, and they started yelling already. You know, we don't care who you are. What are you doing? You know, what are you going to do? But they got it under control, and I think they took a lot of input, and so who knows? But yeah, not happy about it.
All right, we'll go on. Do we have director's comments or future agenda items? I just had one, and that is, as I watched it rain the last couple days and a lot of storm water throughout Southern California going out to the ocean, I just am very pleased that we are involved with some of our other local agencies here in Southwest Riverside County to start planning so that it may be 25 years from now, but I want future people sitting on this dais to think and go, I'm glad those guys came up with some storm water capture or whatever other things that we are doing for our local water resources here. So I just am glad that we're involved in that and look forward to the next meeting and some of the ideas coming out of it, because it is a shame when we have these large rain events to just watch all that water go out to the ocean. So anyway, that was my comment. I understand we need a closed session, Mr. Legal Counsel.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 for anticipated litigation.
All right. We will change over to closed session.
Okay, we're ready.
All right, we are back in open session. May I get a report out from legal counsel of our closed session activities?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The board met in closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 to discuss certain items of potential litigation. A report was given to the board. No formal action was taken by the board. That concludes my closed session report.
Very good. With that, we will stand adjourned until Wednesday, February 21st, 2024 at 9 a.m.